ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपान्तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 32 प्रीत्या स्वभाव कृतया वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृ हित्वा स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामिया वृत्त्या स्वभावकृतया वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृत् हित्वा स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामिया वृत्त्या स्वभावकृतया वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृत् हित्वा स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामिया कृत्या स्वभाव कृतया वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृत् हित्वा स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामियात् वृत्त्या स्वभाव कृतया वर्तमानः स्वभावजं कर्म निर्गुणतामियात् वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृत् स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामियात् वृत्त्या स्वभावकृतया वर्तमानः स्वकर्मकृत् हित्वा स्वभावजं कर्म शनैर्निर्गुणतामियात् वैष्णवीस ऑल राइट सिनोनिम्स वृत्त्या विद प्रोफेशन स्वभाव कृतया performed according to one's modes of material nature vartamanah existing swakarma krit executing his own work hitva giving up swabhavajam born from one's own modes of nature karma activities, shanai gradually, nirgunatam transcendental position, yat may attain. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. If one acts in his profession according to his position in the modes of nature and gradually gives up these habits, these activities, he attains the nishkam stage. Purport. If one gradually gives up his hereditary customs and duties and tries to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his natural position, he is gradually able to become free from these activities and he attains the stage of nishkam or freedom from material desires. Hare Krishna. So, I am very thankful to all the Vaishnavas who have very kindly assembled here. Especially, I am very thankful to Srila Radhika Kanai Prabhu for very kindly inviting me here. Prabhuji is very soft spoken Vaishnav and he kindly invited me here for speaking, so I am very thankful to him. I am also very thankful to all the prominent devotees who are present here, Narottam Prabhu and all other devotees who are present here. Thank you very much for coming, all of you. This verse occurs in the 11th chapter of 7th canto. And if we see the 7th canto, it is divided into a total of 15 chapters. Now, in these 15 chapters, the Acharya say, Srila Sridhar Swami says, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, first 10 chapters are devoted to describing what is pure devotional service. And that pure devotional service is described by giving the example of Prahlad Maharaj. And then suddenly from 11th chapter onwards, that is 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th and 15th, the topic changes and suddenly what is described is Sakam Bhakti. Sakam Bhakti means slightly lower platform of bhakti but with material desires. So first 10 chapters is describing nishkam bhakti or pure devotional service, and then the remaining 5 chapters are describing sakam bhakti, which means devotional service with material desires. And why does this happen? Why do we need to describe mixed devotional service when already pure devotional service has been described? Because what is happening in this chapter is that Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking Narad Muni in the Rajasuya sacrifice that please describe Varnashram Dharma. Please describe Sanatan Dharma. But pure devotional service has already been spoken about. What is the separate need to describe Varnashram Dharma? Why come down to a slightly lower platform? In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna does a similar thing in the 12th chapter. He says the highest stage is, if Arjun, you engage in spontaneously remembering me. This is the best thing you can do. And if you cannot do that, and he comes lower, at least try to follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. If you cannot do that, then he gives further, he goes below. If you cannot do that, then at least try to do some service for the Vaishnavas, do some service for me. Try to engage in some work for me. If you cannot even do that, at least try to cultivate some knowledge. So, whenever we see any such descriptions of pure devotional service, then after that we have to come down gradually to describing what is mixed devotional service. What is the reason? Reason is that it's always good to describe something which is pure, which is ideal. But there are very few people who fit on the standard of the ideal. For example, it's raining everywhere right now in Mumbai. Now somebody asks, what is water? What is the definition of water? I can give a very technical, pure definition. Okay? Water is something which is not contaminated by any dirt, does not have any bacteria, is made out of two atoms of hydrogen in combination with one atom of oxygen. That is what is called water. This is what we would say a technically pure definition. What is pure water? This is how I define pure water. But we know for all practical purposes, water is something which comes from the tap. We don't worry about checking every time if it fits this definition. We know for day-to-day purposes, water is something which we get from the tap. Water is something which rains from the sky. And this pure water may be somewhere in some laboratory, they may be having a sample of pure water. Okay? Where they have said, this is pure water, it does not contain any contamination from any external sources. But 99.9% of the world's water is not going to be like that. Established fact. Established reality. It's always good to have, similarly, it's always very good to have a definition of pure devotional service. A very technical definition which Srila Rupa Goswami has given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anu shilenam bhaktir uttama. Rupa Goswami is very, very specific in using the term uttama. He says, when I am defining bhakti, I am defining uttama bhakti, the highest devotional service. I am not defining any other devotional service. I am defining uttama bhakti. Uttama bhakti means the purest bhakti. I am giving a very specific technical definition. Anya abhilashita shunyam. All other desires should be zero. Except in emergency cases. Okay, he uses anya abhilashita. Is this term abhilashita means in normal case, material desire should be zero. In emergency case, a devotee can have material desire. For example, if his life is in danger, he can ask Krishna to protect him. Okay? That is the emergency case. Otherwise, in general case, material desires have to be zero. And there should be no covering of jnan or karma. Bhakti should not be covered by jnan, which means devotee should not think that jnana has become more important than bhakti. And it should not be covered by karma. It means that devotee should not think that karma has become more important than bhakti. And anukulyena, it should be completely favorable towards Krishna. There should be no single negative feeling in our reciprocation towards Lord Krishna. This bhakti is known as uttama bhakti. This is what we can call a technical laboratory scientific definition of uttama bhakti. But for all practical purposes, when it comes to day-to-day life, 99.9% of the devotees may not fit the bill. It's reality. Okay. Very few may be up to the standard that Prahlad Maharaj is displaying, which was described in the first 10 chapters of 7th canto. But most of them may not be able to display this. What is the reason? Reason is given here in this verse. Vritya Swabhavajam. Their Swabhav, their attitude in life, which they have acquired from previous births, is not exactly in tune with pure bhakti. They have some desire, some material desire in their heart. But they want to perform bhakti. They want to perform bhakti. Very strong desire they have. They want to perform bhakti. But in their heart there is some material desire. It's very easy to be on the platform of pure bhakti when one is in a group. You understand? When one is in a group of devotees, let's say I'm Haripatshad Das, I'm going to a yatra with a group of devotees. I went for a Vrindavan yatra. For 1 week I went to Vrindavan with a group of devotees. And in that group, because there is something known as peer pressure means I cannot misbehave in front of the group. Do you understand? So I have to be like a devotee. So I'll dress nicely, I'll always put tilak. I'll be a nice devotee. I'll not do something, you know, which will go against devotee standards. But one day every yatra has to end. And then I come back home. And then when I am alone, sitting quietly in my room, at that point of time, who I am really, without any peer pressure, without any group pressure, that will come out. So it's very easy to pretend to be somebody, especially when one is in a group. But real standards of bhajan, they often come out in solitude, when one is alone. Therefore, when one is alone, one can get to see one's true self, who I am really, without pretense. And then I realize that I have many material desires. And for such people, Varnashram Dharma is needed. Gradual purification of material desires. And this verse says that Vritya Swabhava Kritya. According to Varnashram Dharma, some duties will be given to you. These duties will be according to your Swabhava. What is your inherent nature? Sridhar Swami says, Swabhava means that which one likes to do. So, some medicine will be prescribed, which will be sweet according to our nature, but it will purify us gradually. This term gradually is mentioned in this verse. Shanai. Shanai means gradually. Shanai nirguna tamiyat. Gradually, by following this Varnashram Dharma, Shanai gradually nirguna tamiyat. Devotee will become free of material desires. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Vaishnav should be very careful of this verse. He says, Shanair bahu janmanta eva. Gradually means after many lives, you will be purified. After many lives, you will be purified. What is the purpose then? I want to get purified in this life. You see, I came to ISKCON because I wanted to go back home, back to Godhead. In which life? In some future life or in this life? In this life. I wanted to go back to Godhead in this life. Is what I want. I don't want to wait another few lives, trying to do something gradual, Varnashram Dharm. In this one purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary speaks very clearly. Varnashram Dharm means Bahu Janmanta Eva. After many lives you will be purified. If you try to take the easy way which goes according to your nature. Now, as I said, when we start out in bhakti, it's very easy to be enthusiastic. But gradually one realizes that path of bhakti is full of obstacles, difficult, full of obstacles for many devotees. Why? Because although it's easy to perform bhakti in a group, it's very difficult to perform bhakti when one is alone, in solitude. And there will definitely be a time when we will be alone. We can't force ourselves to be in a group all the time. Definitely there will be time when we are alone. And that is when our bhajan will be tested. And after trying very hard for many years, devotee may become weary on the path. You know, weary means tired on the path. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhuri Kadambini that a devotee who starts out on the path of bhakti is like a student who has entered into a new year and purchased new books. Do you understand? When he sees the new books, he makes up many plans, you know. I'll carefully write on the first page of the book. I'll be a nice student throughout the year. I'll attend all my lectures. Okay, I'll not miss a single lecture. I'll ask all the nice questions to my teachers. I'll get all the good marks. And I'll clear out with flying colors. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, then after a few days, as soon as there is some difficulty, the devotee becomes, you know, he feels lamentation at heart, he cannot do anything. He feels that he is facing so many obstacles. I cannot progress in this bhakti. Why not just, you know, take it easy for a few days? Let's not push ourselves. For a few days, let's not push ourselves so much. Slowly, but gradually, I'll try to make progress. And some devotees may get very frustrated. Why is this happening to me? Oh Krishna, I came to your devotional service. I accepted your bhakti. I gave up so many things for your devotional service. For what purpose? I wanted to see you directly, face to face. This is what I wanted. I wanted to have an audience with God. When I started out on the path of bhakti, that's what I wanted. I wanted to have an audience with God. And slowly but gradually I am realizing that I am far from having an audience of God. I am not even having a taste in chanting of Hare Krishna. It's very difficult to make progress. And then the devotee may ask, you know, why is it so difficult to be a pure devotee? Why is it so difficult, Krishna? Why is it so difficult to become your pure devotee? It's like something in the textbook, you know. Something you see in a textbook. What is pure devotional service? Pure devotional service is something which is found in the textbook. So often I thought about this, and this is what I would call the stage of mediocrity. Stage of mediocrity means you are stuck in one place and you have no idea where you have to go next. You have no idea how to make further progress, what to do. And it is in this stage that Maya opens up many varieties of options for us. Oh, you can't be a devotee, Hari Parshad Das, you can't be a devotee. No problem, you can dress like a devotee, and what you can do is be a nice kirtaniya, you know, be a nice kirtaniya. So at least devotees will appreciate you know, for being a nice kirtaniya. At least if you cannot attain pure devotional service, at least do something which is good, which is favorable for bhakti, alright, be a nice kirtaniya, earn a nice name amongst devotees, or do any other service, you know. Be a nice human being. At least be a nice human being in life. Stage of mediocrity. Srila Rupa Goswami also asked this question. Why is it so difficult to attain pure devotional service? Is the first personality, in my opinion, is the first personality to pinpoint the reason. He specifically pinpoints the reason. He says that pure devotional service is sudurlabha, very rare to attain. There are six characteristics of bhakti he describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kleshagni shubhada moksha laguta krit sudurlabha sandrananda visheshatma shri krishna karshini chasa. He says there are six characteristics, one of which is sudurlabha, very rare to attain. Why rare to attain? So Rupa Goswami pinpoints two reasons. Rare to attain because of two reasons. First, because our attitude is not favorable. Because our priorities are not in the correct places. And second, he says, because Krishna himself doesn't want to give it. Very important thing. Krishna himself is not interested in giving it. So two reasons are there why we are unable to attain this platform of pure devotional service. First, our attitude is not favorable for receiving it. Second, Krishna's attitude is not favorable for giving it. Krishna doesn't want to give it very easily. And he is praman for this. In Bhagavatam, 5th canto, in 6th chapter, 18th verse, Rajan patir guru ralamba vatam yadunam Daivam priya kulapati hikva chakinko rava Astveva manga bhagavan bhajatam mukundo Muktim dadati karichitsmana bhakti yogam. Last line he says, Muktim dadati karichitsmana bhakti yogam. At one time Krishna will give mukti easily, but he will never give his pure bhakti. Never give his pure bhakti. This is from the Bhagavatam. Muktim dadati karichit. One time you become his devotee, he'll give you some wealth, he'll give you what you want, material desires, everything he'll fulfill. But one thing he'll not give. One thing he doesn't want to give. There's one thing which God doesn't want to give. That is his pure devotional service. Very easily he will not give it. He will open so many options. Oh, Hari Parshad Das, you can earn nice name and fame as a kirtaniya. Oh, Hari Parshad Das, you can earn nice name and fame as somebody who knows Shastra. Oh, Hari Parshad Das, you can earn a nice name and fame, you know, as some very elevated member in the institution. Senior Vaishnav. But what you will not have, Hari Parshad Das, is pure devotional service. Why? What is the reason? Just like all of us, Krishna doesn't like to open up to strangers. He doesn't want to give his bhakti very easily, because giving bhakti means Krishna has to become our servant. To give pure devotional service means Krishna has to become subordinate to the devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami gave 6 characteristics. Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha Laguta Krit, Sudurlabha, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Shri Krishna Akarshini. It completely attracts, when one becomes a pure devotee, his pure devotional service completely attracts Krishna, and it makes Krishna the servant of the devotee. Krishna has to now follow the orders of the devotee. So when Mother Yashoda says to Krishna, you have to wake up in the morning. So every morning you have to wake up. Mother Yashoda is going to wake up. Wake him up. And he can't say no. Why? He can't say, I am the supreme personality of Godhead. He is merely a devotee. I am ordering you, Mother Yashoda. Now stop. I, the supreme personality of Godhead, wants to sleep today for one more hour. Can he say like that? No, he can't say that. Or he is driving the chariot for Arjun in the battlefield, and Arjun indicates, you have to go left, by touching his foot to Krishna. He can't say, I am the supreme personality. How dare you order me, Arjun? You can't do that. Once you are a pure devotee, you are a pure devotee forever. And it means one thing, that Krishna will give himself fully to you. That Krishna will reveal the inner core of his heart to you. And Krishna is very uncomfortable in doing that. Doesn't easily do that with everybody. Very uncomfortable. Can we easily open our heart to any stranger? We cannot. We cannot just walk up to any stranger on the street and, you know, reveal what's going on in our heart. We have to know a person for a certain amount of time. We have to know that, you know, we can place our confidence in that person. When we are confident that such and such person is fully trustworthy, then we will place our confidence and trust in such a person. And then we can open ourselves to such a person. Same is the case with Krishna. Nothing different. Everyone, all the strangers whom we meet in life, we sometimes give them money. For example, I may take an auto rickshaw. An auto rickshaw driver is a stranger. To him I may give money. To him I may talk something external. But I'll never speak something what is in my heart. Similarly, Krishna, those who are not serious, he will give some Lakshmi. He will give some facilities in life. What do you want? Okay, take it. You know. But I'll not allow you in the private quarters of my heart. It's the first reason. And you know, there is nothing we can do about this reason. Nothing we can do to change the attitude of Krishna. But the second thing which we can do is make a change in our attitude. Because Srila Rupa Goswami said, bhakti is rare to attain because of two reasons. Why? Because our attitude is not correct for receiving it, and Krishna's attitude is not favorable for giving it. So what we can do is, at least we can change the attitude on our side. As our attitude is not favorable in receiving it. Why? We have never imagined ourselves how our devotional life will come to a conclusion. Many of us have no idea. Okay. We have not even ventured into the direction of trying to look what is Krishna Prem. This is the goal of all bhakti, is to attain Krishna Prem. But many of us never think about it. How will I attain Krishna Prem? How will I attain Krishna Prem? Most of us, which includes myself, are busy with many external thoughts. How will I earn money today? How will I avoid any misery today? Most of us are busy with external thoughts. And we have no time remaining for thinking about what is most important. How will I attain Krishna Prem? How will I love Krishna? Can I even visualize myself attaining love for Krishna? Intelligent people are those who begin with the end in the mind. We are on this process of bhakti. We have to begin with the end in the mind. But how many of us have visualized what I will be at the end of my devotional life? What is the stage? What are those stages in which I will progress? How will I attain face-to-face darshan of Krishna? Most of us take very little interest in all these things. We want to have Krishna, but we don't want to get into the details. We don't want to get into the details. But love is always in the details. If we really want something, if our heart is in the correct place, we'll do everything which is required to attain it. Everything which is required. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Yena Kena Prakarena. Through any means we'll try to find out where is Krishna and how to attain him. Is there some method given in a book somewhere? Has some acharya described it somewhere? There is one verse which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks, which describes this sequence, how devotee will attain Krishna. In a single verse he describes this sequence. It is in commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. These are 14 stages of progress. Satam kripa mahat seva, shraddha guru padashraya, bhajaneshu spriha bhaktir, anartha apagamastatha, nishtha ruchi tatha sakti, rati premath darshanam, harer madhuryanubhava ityarthasyus chaturdashe. 14 stages of progression. He says, first stage, how will you attain pure devotional service? First stage, satam kripa. You have to attain the mercy of some very elevated sadhu. First and foremost, first requirement. You have to attain. It is a must. It is not optional. Satam kripa. Attain the shelter, the kripa of a sadhu. Mahat seva. Second stage. You have to serve that sadhu. Third stage, Shraddha. You have faith in the process of bhakti. You will get faith in the process of bhakti. Fourth, Guru Padashraya. Then you will receive the shelter of Guru. Fifth, Bhajaneshu Spriha. Then you will develop a deep hankering for bhajan. Sixth, Bhakti. Then you will actually perform the process of bhajan. Seventh, Anartha apagamastatha. Then your anarthas will gradually go away. Not immediately, gradually go away. Eighth, nishtha. You will become very firmly attached to the process of bhakti. Ninth, ruchi. You will start experiencing some taste. Tenth, tatha asakti. You will become strongly attached to Krishna. Not artificially attached. Strongly attached to Krishna. Eleventh, nishtha, ruchi, tatha, sakti, rati. 11th is Rati, means then you will attain deep attachment or deep attraction for Krishna. 12th, Prem, then you will attain Prem. 13th, Atha Darshanam, then comes direct face to face contact with Krishna. Face to face you will be able to see Him. And 14th is Harer Madhuryanubhava, complete experience of Hari's sweetness. Complete experience of Hari's sweetness. Ityartha, this is the progression, Syus Chaturdashe, in 14 stages. But most of us have never even visualized ourselves climbing this ladder. We have to make a plan. We have to make a plan how we will go about it. And Srila Rupa Goswami says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says a very nice plan. Okay, he gives 6-step plan, and we all know this 6-step plan. Utsaha nishaya dhairyas tattat karma pravartanas sangatyaga sato vritte shadbir bhakti prasidhyati. Utsahas nishayas dhairyas tattat karma pravartanas sangatyaga sato vritte. 6 activities which are favorable for bhakti, most important being sato vritte. Be with the sadhus, act like a sadhu. Sadhu here means who? Sadhu here means somebody who is very dedicated to bhajan. He gives the symptoms also. Who is a sadhu? Nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabdhya. Very expert in bhajan and who has no time for criticizing others. Very expert in bhajan, who is so much engrossed in bhajan, he has no time for criticizing others. He is one-pointed. I have no business trying to correct anybody else. My only business is I want to attain love of Krishna. I don't want to reform anybody. I don't want to reform this Vaishnava. I don't want to reform this institution. I don't want to reform this world. I have no other business in this world. I have one very simple business. I want to know how to love Krishna. And I actually want to engage in the process of loving Krishna. One-pointedly dedicated sadhu. Such a sadhu has to be associated with. Find out such a sadhu by any means possible. By any means possible. And seek association and serve such a sadhu. This one thing will give everything else. It will teach us utsaha, it will teach us nischay, it will teach us dhairya, it will teach tattat karma pravartan, it will teach us sangatyag. This last quality of satovritti, this 6th quality, will teach us the remaining 5 qualities. And if we can do this thing, this one thing, associate with those who are extremely motivated in bhakti and carefully avoid those who are not motivated. Carefully avoid those who are not motivated. People who have so-called other ambitions in life. Other ambitions means their aim in life is not to attain pure love. Aim in life is something else. Their aim may be, I want to rectify this Vaishnava institution. So many problems are there. Aim of my life is, I want to rectify this Vaishnava institution. Rupa Goswami says, avoid. Somebody may say, oh, aim of life is, you know, being a devotee is okay. Just be a nice person first and foremost. Rupa Goswami says, be dedicated to that one sadhu, one pointedly devoted to attaining love of Krishna. And this is the method for getting out of the stage of mediocrity in bhakti. There is no other way. We have to associate with those who are extremely motivated in this domain of bhakti, in this field of bhakti. Otherwise, our progress will be stifled. Progress will be limited. We will not be able to make progress beyond a certain point. And this path which Narad Muni is showing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's more or less, it is going to take many lives. This Varnashram Dharma, then Brahmana should accept charity and perform Yajna, and Kshatriya should give donation, and Vaishya should protect the cows, and Shudra should serve the remaining three Varnas, and those who are Chandals, and those who are not in the Varnashram system, they should follow their family customs. Now all of you, please try to think. In this chapter it is given. Anybody who is born as a Chandal, dog eater, for them the only duty is they should follow their family customs. But that's the only duty given in this chapter. Do you think by following family customs, that too for a Chandal family, they will be able to attain pure bhakti in this life? It's simply not possible. Simply by following family customs for so many lives, okay, it will not be possible. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Swadharma nishtah shatajanma bhi puman virinchitatameti. After executing one's family duties for 100 lifetimes correctly, one may be able to become Brahma. But in ISKCON, we are taught on the very first day, we don't want to become Brahma also, right? We want to go back home, back to Godhead. Right. So what's the use of trying to follow all these things when it's going to take such a long time? Okay. Therefore, the verse also doesn't cheat us. It says Shanai. Shanai means gradually. And gradually means it can be this life, or it can be many lives, or it can, you know, case to case basis. Therefore, the best thing is this. Find somebody who is super motivated in bhakti. Like-minded person, super motivated in bhakti, who has his attention on only one thing. How to attain pure Krishna prema. No other business. With such a person, make him your dearmost friend. Do whatever is required, do for him whatever is required. Give him some, do some service for him, please him in some way. And then our path to bhakti will be swift. Otherwise we'll be stuck on the platform of mediocrity, maybe for this life or for many lives to come. Right. So we'll pause here. Thank you very much all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if there are any comments or questions, I'd like to welcome them. Yes. Mike.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class. You mentioned that Rupa Goswami explains the two reasons, one being Krishna does not want to give bhakti. So we also sing in Vaishnava bhajans that Vaishnava's mercy we get Krishna prem. Krishna does not own Krishna prem, but devotees, they are the real owner.
Right. That is correct. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami says that Krishna's mercy is not available directly. Krishna's mercy is available only through the agency of the devotees. Only through the agency of the devotees. All of us know this, that we did not become ISKCON devotees because one day Krishna came in front of us and said, Hare Krishna Prabhu, now it's time for you to to become an ISKCON devotee. Okay. That was not how it happened. You know, we got Krishna through the agency of a devotee. Okay. So, therefore it said that through the agency of a devotee one gets Krishna and Krishna Prem. That's correct. But the major problem still remains that our attitude is not correct. Our priorities are not in the correct place. Even after coming to bhakti, we came to bhakti for various purposes. Somebody came simply because the prasadam was nice. Bas, that's it. Somebody came simply because the prasadam was nice. Somebody came because they saw that, you know, there are so many nice facilities here. Somebody came because, oh, I can escape the material world, you know. Maybe I can join the ashram and I don't have to have so much headache in life. So these are all examples of, these are all okay in the beginning. In the beginning these motivations are okay. But these motivations can't take us to our final destination. Ultimately our motivation has to be in the correct place. Why did I come to ISKCON? Or for that purpose, any devotional society. Why did I come here? I came because, and then fill in the blanks. You can fill in the blank yourself. Okay? And if the answer is not Krishna Prem, if the answer doesn't have Krishna Prem in it, you know that your priorities are not in the correct place. Krishna's personal opinion is that anybody who's a devotee but whose priority is not bhakti, he is a fool. Number one fool, Krishna says. Ami vigyae murke vishayake na diva swacharana amritadiya vishay bulaiva. He is devotee but he wants some material enjoyment. Oh, Hari Parsad Das became a devotee in 2002. After 10 years also his heart is not clear. What does Hari Parsad Das mean? He wants to become GPC member. That's what Hari Parsad Das wants. Senior devotee, Hari Parsad Das. After 10 years his heart is not cleansed. Okay, Hari Parsad Das, GPC member, senior devotee. But you will not have one thing. What is it that? Prem. Unless you shift your priorities in the correct place. There is still time. Hari Parsad Das, Krishna is saying. There is still time. Rectify yourself. Hari Parsad Das, put your priorities in the correct place. Before it is too late. That is. Vaishnava, it is definitely true that by Vaishnava's mercy one gets Krishna. But 99% people do not have their priorities in the correct place. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class. My question is, can you please explain the meaning of Anyabhilashita? Means, Bhai Rupa Goswami has not used the word Anyabhilasha and he used instead Anyabhilashita.
Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this thing. Srila Rupa Goswami has very, very intelligently used the term Anyabhilashita. Unless, instead of saying Anyabhilashunyam, he could have said Anyabhilashunyam, but he used Ita. He has used a suffix itach. Ita suffix he has used. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the reason for this. One may be a pure devotee and not have any material desires. Okay, but even for a pure devotee, there may be some circumstances in life when he is in an emergency situation. For example, a pure devotee is walking on the street and suddenly he sees that a speeding truck is coming towards him. A pure devotee and no material desires, nothing. But he will see on the street one speeding truck is coming towards him. His immediate knee-jerk reaction, reaction will be, "Oh Krishna, protect me." Do you understand? And somebody may say, you see, pure devotee also has material desire. If he was really a pure devotee, even in this emergency situation, he should have not called out to Krishna and asked for help. Oh Krishna, please protect my body. So that people should not criticize like this, therefore Rupa Goswami, instead of using Anya Abhilasha Shunyam, he says Anya Abhilasha Ita Shunyam. By adding Ita, he gives exceptional case, means in exceptional case, in emergency situation, even if one develops a slight material desire, still that is not contradictory to pure devotional service. That is the meaning of the term Anya Abhilashita.
Any reference of this explanation?
The reference is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and reference is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he says to Hiranyakashipu, this is a verse in Vishnu Puran. Vishnu Shastreshu Shmasu Maichasa Vyavastita Daityasena Satyena Makramantva Yudhani Me Hiranyakashipu. You are my father, but I am telling you. Vishnu Shastreshu, this Vishnu is present in your weapon also. Yushmasu, Vishnu is present in you. Mai chaso, Vishnu is present in my heart also. Daityasena Satyena, I'll tell you the truth. Lord Vishnu will protect me even in emergency situations. Don't worry. Okay. It's an example, Prahlad Maharaj. But there are some devotees who are so much beyond this platform that they will not even pray to Krishna in emergency situations. Example, Jad Bharat. They bought him for slaughter, you know, one time. They bought him for slaughter. Jad Bharat is not even worried about they will slaughter him. But that's a very extreme platform. And in general, devotees cannot attain that platform. Shukdev Goswami later says, don't try to imitate Jad Bharat. The path of Jad Bharat is like the path of an eagle. Very straightforward. And other devotees are like flies. They can't follow the path of the eagle. So, for general case, even if there is slight material desire, in emergency situations, that is not counted as contradictory to pure devotional service.
Thank you.
Yes. Mike. So, Prabhuji's question is that, who is a Brahmana? What are the qualifications of a Brahmana? And in ISKCON society, are we the Brahmanas of the society? In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are various definitions of Brahmana given. Some places it is said that Brahmana is by birth, some places it is said that Brahmana is by qualification. Okay, at one place it is also said that Brahmana is by birth. But this definition is not very much applicable to today's world. Okay. What is applicable to today's world is Brahmana by qualification. So Brahmana is he who has acquired the qualifications of Brahmana as spoken of in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures. Srila Prabhupada used to quote one verse. Janmana jayate shudra samskarat dvija uchyate veda pathat bhavet vipro brahma janati brahmana. Brahmana is one who is on the path to realizing the absolute truth. Brahma janati, he is inquiring into the absolute truth. He knows something about the absolute truth. That is Brahman. Are we in ISKCON society, we are supposed to be Brahmanas of the society. We are supposed to give guidance. But there are two things that we should be careful of. One is, we should not fall into the trap of thinking that everybody else is non-Brahmana. Those who are not in ISKCON automatically means they are not Brahmana. No. One can become a Brahmana independent of ISKCON also. So there may be many Brahmanas who are not members of ISKCON. So, one is the trap of thinking that only in our society there are Brahmanas, everybody else is Shudra. No, anybody can develop these qualities, and it is not required that one should become a member of a specific society. Okay, so there may be other Brahmanas and we should respect them. First thing. Second thing, we should genuinely give that guidance to society. Because today, now more than ever, society needs that guidance. People are very much in the grips of atheism. Very much in the grips of atheism. Because they are very much disillusioned by other cheating processes of finding God, on which they will definitely never attain any success. Definitely they will never attain any success. So our duty as Brahmanas is to encourage them to gradually come to the platform of pure bhakti. Most of them may not be able to come to the platform of bhakti in this life. For them this Varnashram Dharma has been spoken. Therefore ISKCON has many, you know, sister organizations and projects going on. You know, we are doing cow protection, we are making herbal soaps, we are doing, you know, so many things. It engages many many people who otherwise will never be engaged. But very few of them may have the correct motivation that I want to become a pure devotee. Otherwise, we have to engage them according to their tendency. This is the best that we can do as a Brahman. Engage people according to their tendencies. Give them direction. Any other question or comment? All right. Yes. What is the meaning of sthane sthita? Sthane sthita means stay in your place and perform bhajan. Shruti gatam tanu vang manobhir. Stay in your place. There is no need to travel so much for attaining the absolute truth. Stay in your place and render service through your ear. Shruti gatam tanu vang manobhir. And render service through your body, mind, words. Yaprayasho jita jita. And even the unconquerable Lord Ajit will be conquered through this process. The whole verse is Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanti eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvang manobir ya prayasho jita jita straistir lokya. That is the verse. Lord Brahma says if one wants to do bhajan, any one place, solitary place is okay. If one wants to do bhajan. Which reminds me of one Goswami in Vrindavan. This Goswami came before all the other Goswamis came to Vrindavan. He was Bhugarbh Goswami. Nobody knows what his real name was, but he got the name Bhugarbh Goswami. Why? Bhu means earth and Garbh means womb. So he had dug a big hole in the earth, like a cave underneath the earth. And inside that cave, dark cave, he used to perform bhajan. There was only one slight opening for ventilation. Okay, and therefore he came to be known as Bhugarbh Goswami. I'll perform bhajan in such a place where nobody will be able to find me. And those were difficult days, so many Muslim persecution, you know, Aurangzeb and so many other kings. So Bhugarbh Goswami and other Goswamis, they used to make these caves, underground caves. So nobody will disturb. They'll take one pot of water underneath, which will be sufficient for 3-4 days. That's some dry prasadam, you know, which they can eat sometimes in between, and that's it. So at one place you can attain perfection. There's no need to move anywhere else. And you can see a similar place, I think, in Radha Shyam Sundar, that Prachin Radha Shyam Sundar temple. I think there is an underground cave which is Shyamanand Prabhu's bhajan kutir. You can see a place. The perfect example of sthane sthita shruti gata. Stay in one place and perform bhajan. Alright. Alright. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all Premanande. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.